This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, The Difference a Gun Makes. You can find it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Women in abusive relationships are 5 times more likely to die when their abuser owns a gun. Renee Norris-Jones was in a violent marriage for years. Then, when her husband brought home a gun, everything changed. Nina Feldman has Renee's story, and just a note, it includes some graphic descriptions of violence.
Renee met Carlton at a Philadelphia bus stop in 1974. She was 16 years old with a toddler. He was good-looking, and she was charmed by him. They started dating, and once she was 18, got married. Carlton taught her how to wear makeup and find the right slip to go under a dress. As a young woman living away from home, she just found those things helpful.
We were 2 years into the relationship before I saw anything.
It was a Friday night.
It was date night. I was almost finished getting ready. I was finishing up makeup in the mirror. He was sitting this on the side of the bed, and we were discussing dinner. Do we want Chinese? I had that for lunch. What about French? What about this? And to me, it was as easy as that. And I woke up on the floor. It was as easy as that. There wasn't an argument. He knocked me out.
After that, the violence became regular. Sometimes Renee would call the police, but often they didn't show up. And when they did, they weren't much help. Renee remembers one time in particular. It was 1976, and she'd just filed for a restraining order, which were brand new at the time. Carlton came home, and Renee called the police because he was violating the restraining order. When they got there, Renee says her husband began to beat her, right there in front of the police. Even as he did it, she was hoping the restraining order would mean something.
I'm holding onto this paper for dear life, and it's fanning in the wind, because if he looks at this paper, he's going to see that some judge signed this and said, "This man can no longer hit me." And this man is beating me like he is in the ring. And I'm watching this police officer, and he is cleaning his nails, going, "Mr. Jones, please take your hands off of your wife." And the officer waits for him to catch his breath. Must have walked him to the corner and back, because they weren't going that long, and came back and said, "Y'all have a good night now." And I'm showing him the paper, "Y'all have a good night."
Sometimes after Carlton would beat her, Renee would go stay in a women's shelter. But she says they were often full, and when there was room, you were only allowed to stay for a week. Once her time was up, she would go home, where Carlton would inevitably hit her again. Her finances were wrapped up with his, and she depended on him. He was abusing her children, too, and she was afraid for their safety. Renee did go to her family for help.
At some point, I showed up at my dad's house. Just busted lip, black eyes, just totally messed up. I'm telling him all the things that I'm going through. And he looked at me and said, "What did you think marriage was?" And this was my father. This was my hero. So that totally screwed me up. Like, I used to think that I was a fool for all the times I left.
Eventually, it got so bad she decided she did need to leave town. She moved to Houston, got a job, and for a while, things were going well. But soon, her father called and told her,
"Okay, you guys had your little separation. You need to get back together with your husband." My family loves this man. They love this man. It's like Cheers when Norm comes in. Oh my God, they love this man.
Finally, Renee gave in. Carlton moved in with her in Houston. And she says as soon as he got there, the cycle of abuse started up again. And then one night, everything changed.
We went to bed, and just as we were going to sleep, he pulled out a gun, pointed it to my temple, put his finger on the trigger, and then put a pillow on it and lay down and said, "This is so you don't go anywhere in the middle of the night. I'm tired of you leaving me."
Renee didn't sleep that night. She'd been planning to leave again. She found a roommate, and they'd already rented an apartment across town. She'd just been waiting for the right moment to move.
It just sent me to a different place, and I just was like, "I'm out." It was 7 years of hell, but the magnitude of all of those years together and the gun were equal. So the next day when I went to work, I called my roommate and said, "He brought home a gun. I gotta leave tonight."
Renee and her roommate packed her things.
I said, "I've got to take this gun. He's gonna be pissed when he comes home and I'm not here." is going to come looking for me.
So we picked up this gun. The two of us picked it up like it was a delicate egg. And we carried it out and put it on the back of the truck.
The gun stayed in a shoebox at the bottom of Renee's linen closet in her new apartment. And Carlton never found her. After about a year and a half, Renee wanted a divorce. And that meant she had to get back in touch with Carlton.
So I tracked him down. And we signed the divorce papers. And he said, sure, you give me my gun back.
Renee didn't like this plan, but she was willing to do whatever it took to get his signature. So she agreed, and she pulled the gun out of its hiding place.
So I sat on the floor, and I took this gun apart. And every little tiny piece, I don't care how small, I took with tape and newspaper and wrapped up every tiny piece, every bullet separately.
Renee stuffed all the bulky, individually wrapped gun parts into a few shopping bags. She'd picked a pretty fancy place for lunch with lots of wait staff. She set out for the restaurant.
And I got there first. I had a nice lunch. He came in, and he was like, oh, I see you started without me. Oh, no, I'm finished. He said, you brought the gun? I said, I did. And he probably thought I went shopping. That's it. It's in the bag. I have it.
Carlton signed the divorce papers. Renee got up to leave.
As I was walking away, I glimpsed over my shoulder, and he was looking at all of the bags and looking at me. And he said something like, you really don't trust me or something. Or, what did you think I was going to do? And I didn't even wait to hear. I just was, just walk. Don't let them see you sweat. Once I turned that corner, I was gone.
A few years later, it was 1984. And Renee got a phone call from a friend who told her that Carlton's mother had been found murdered in her home by her son.
And my first thought was, oh my God, that could have been me.
Carlton was convicted of first-degree murder. He died in prison in 2015. Renee is doing well. She's still in therapy, and she tells her story to people around the country as an advocate for women in abusive relationships. She recently completed her PhD and is now Dr. Norris Jones.
That was Nina Feldman reporting.